You know, I think there are some mistakes.
We'd like to start now and welcome to the 19th meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. And for the record, let me note that Representative Davis is here with me in Juneau and that Representative Foster is circling the airport at this time. So he should be here shortly. We will take testimony now and to be officially adopted at our first meeting that contains the quorum. We are on teleconference with Anchorage, Barrow, Bethel, Fairbanks, Ketchikan, Kotzebue, and Nome. When you're testifying, please remember to state your name and your address and your phone number before giving your comments. Also, so that everyone has an opportunity to testify, I would ask you to try and keep your comments brief. With us in Juneau is Brenda Knapp, Deputy Director of the Rural Development Division in the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. At this time, I will turn the meeting over to Brenda, who will give a brief overview of these programs and moderates today's meeting. Brenda?
Thank you, Representative McLean. The purpose, as you have stated, of this meeting is to take testimony on two documents, the Fiscal Year 90 Community Development Block Grant Final Statement and the Fiscal Year 90 Community Services Block Grant State Plan. And I would hope that persons testifying today would confine their statements pretty much to the two documents that they've had a chance to review. I have with me today, if you don't object, Madam Chair, Judy Holden, who is the Block Grants Administrator for these two programs and is responsible for putting them together. And so I think it would be helpful if she made just a brief statement about the contents and particularly any differences that these two plans may contain.
Okay.
Thank you, Representative McLean and Brenda Knapp. The Community Services Block Grant is virtually the same as it has been in the last 2 years. excuse me. This year, we will have a little less, fewer funds to work with than previously. We don't have the exact number yet, and that is why you don't see a figure in the copy of the draft plan that you have. The way the funds are distributed is exactly 90% of the total that comes to the state is distributed on a percentage basis to the state of Alaska's two community action agencies, which are RuralCAP and CCAP. Of the remaining 10%, $55,000 is permitted for state administrative expenses, and the remainder, which amounts to a little less than $20,000, may be distributed in a discretionary fund. The allocation from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has decreased on a steady basis for this block grant in the last, especially about the last 10 years. the Community Development Block Grant is federal funds that come to us from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And these funds, in previous years, since 1982, when the state took over the administration, have been distributed through a single program, which is grants to the Title 29 cities in the state of Alaska. The city of Anchorage is an entitlement city under HUD, and it has its own block grants. So these funds are distributed to the remainder of the state. This year, we have changed the program just a little to accommodate the need that has been expressed from the cities throughout the state, and that is with the addition of a new program called the Rural Development Fund, which is a loan program for businesses. And the previous year, we distributed 60% of the funds in the usual competitive grant program, and we reserved about $550,000, which is about 40% of the grant, to be distributed in the loan program. And one of the items before you today is to consider or to look at the amendment to the last year's final statement, which is to include the new Rural Development Fund. The new statement that you have a draft of includes the Rural Development Fund in it for the next year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Judy. I believe we're now ready to commence with testimony, and I believe Representative McLean, you wanted to call on Bill Newman, Executive Director of CCAT, first.
Yes. Before we do start, I just have a question. Is there on the CDBG, Community Development Block Grants, the Entrepreneur Fund and the Lender Participation Fund? I'm looking on page 6. There is no ceiling limit listed. Is there a ceiling limit that has been decided on?
Yes, Representative McLean, there is a ceiling. That ceiling is $25,000 for the Entrepreneur Fund, which is for the smaller loans, mm-hmm. and the Lender Participation Fund is $100,000, okay. which is the same as the ceiling on the competitive grant portion of the program.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Human?
Human, yes. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. Thank you, Representative McLean.
Thank you.
My name is Bill Human. I'm the Executive Director with CCAP, which is Southeastern Alaska Community Action Program, and we are a recipient of CSBG funds and operate in Southeast Alaska. First of all, regarding the plan, and I've been working under the state plan for the last 2.5 years and it's been working well, and I do not see any need for any changes at this point, so I'm happy with that. I also want to state at the same time that I've been working closely with community and regional affairs, and that they've been a great help to us during the last 2.5 years. I might take a couple minutes to explain what CCAP's been doing in the last year and what we expect to do next year as we're with the CSBG funds that we receive. We've been working in some new areas, which one is in with a homeless population in Southeast Alaska. And we're working in conjunction with the Alaska State Homeless Coalition, and we meet on a monthly basis with them, and we also work as the lead agency for the regional coalition in Southeast Alaska and also the GINO coalition. We're also operating, or just received a grant for a program called C-Help, which is Southeast Alaska's Alaskans helping the elderly live independently. And the goal of this program is to provide maintenance-type assistance within the homes of the elderly citizens to enable them to continue living at home, and assist them to continue living at home so they don't have to live in nursing homes. We also are a recipient through CSBG program of emergency homeless assistance funds, and in the past we have delivered those funds to shelters who provide care to homeless people. Our board decided this year that we would deliver those funds with in-house directly to people, homeless people throughout Southeast Alaska, with the intent of concentrating more in the rural areas. We also have been working to coordinate agencies and provide assistance to other agencies who are serving low-income people in Southeast Alaska. And we've been working with St. Vincent's DePaul in their work with their construction of the shelter, and we've essentially helping them. The shelter, I should say, would be an emergency shelter for homeless families, and also a soup kitchen, which will be operated in the valley in Juneau. And we've been assisting with project planning, development of construction costs, scheduling, design, development of material lists, contractor relations, and we will be working on inspection of the work as it takes place, and also in the permitting areas. I think that essentially covers what our activities will be for the next year. And so thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Do you have any questions, Representative Davis?
You referred to the delivering funds to the individuals within Southeast rather than to a program that serves homeless individuals. And you said something about with emphasis on the rural areas. Does that mean that you are not offering those services in the major communities such as Ketchikan, Juneau, whatever?
No, it doesn't mean that. But in the past, last year, we distributed the money to Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka. And we want to work to make sure that some of those funds get into the rural areas as well. And we'll work on an individual client-by-client basis.
So if somebody knows of someone who is homeless, you are a good person to call.
Yes, okay. Definitely. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. We'll go into Anchorage and see if there's anyone that wishes to testify at this point.
Yes, it's Janine, and she's from Rural Cap.
Hello, Janine. This is Eileen McLean.
Hello, Chairman McLean. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Okay, and Representative Davis, thank you for this opportunity to testify on behalf of Rural CAP. My name is Janine Kennedy, Post Office Box 200908, Anchorage, Alaska, 99520. As you know, Rural CAP is a statewide organization, and we are a recipient, a major recipient of the Community Services Block Grant funds, which we use to advocate, provide education, information, and training to rural Alaskans, most of who fall below poverty income guidelines. This year, my testimony will be very short. We just completed our annual Board of Directors meeting at Rural CAP, and we have not received a copy of our state plan yet. I understand that they were mailed out on December 1st, and I haven't had time. I asked for a copy to be DHL'd over to DCRA, but I haven't had time to go and pick it up. But anyhow, I'm glad to hear that there are no major changes, because it has worked quite well this past year. But I just really feel like there ought to be more of an attempt to give us an opportunity to see the plan. And especially for our board, they're in rural Alaska, and sometimes it takes a really long time for them to get mail, you know, as long as 2 weeks. And so I would encourage DCRA to be able to do that. That would be helpful. And I was listening to Bill and the use of the emergency, the emergency homeless funds. And we too also get those funds, and I hate to be such a complainer, but this year, for instance, the deadline for those funds to be spent was September 30th, and we didn't get them until September 27th, which required that we had to just really turn that money around fast. How we used that money was to provide funds to existing organizations that provide services for the homeless. We gave to the Bradline and Fairbanks, to Wish and Ketchikan, to the Thunder Women's Coalition in Bethel. We provided some funds to Coeric nonprofits because that area has had a very bad fishing season, and a lot of times people are rendered homeless up there from fires. The housing conditions are so poor in that area, and they seem to have a number of fires. So they will be able to use those funds to assist homeless people up there. We gave to St. Francis and Beans Cafe in Anchorage. So that gives you an idea of the kinds of things we're doing with our homeless monies. And for those who are not acquainted, I would just say briefly that while our CSBG funds are probably the smallest amount that we receive at Rural Cap, they are our most precious funds because they enable us to respond to the needs of rural Alaskans in a quick way and to address issues for which it is difficult to get funds, for instance, subsistence protection and stronger local control. We also use the CSBG funds to leverage and to write proposals to get money for other existing programs. For instance, even though we get only $560,000 a year, we were able to secure funding of $1,185,000 to work on alcohol and drug abuse problems in rural Alaska. And so we really feel that these CSBG funds are very, very important to us. Thank you for this opportunity to testify. Did you want to say anything? And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Janine, would you please expand a little bit about the alcohol and drug abuse programs that you fund?
Yes, with CSBG funds, we have written proposals to the Federal Office of Substance Abuse Prevention. We have gotten two $1 million grants. The first one was for 3 years, and it's a process of community development and personal development, and we work directly with the villagers to assist them in their healing process, and then they come up with visions of what they would like to do, and then they gain strength. And now TDAC, we just assisted, we had been working with them for 3 years, and this year they are writing their own proposal to OZAP to get their own funds to continue a project that they've been, that they're getting stronger in. Another proposal that we wrote to OZAP and got funded recently was one for another $1 million. And this one is using the culture of the village of Fort Yukon. Those people up there wanted to teach their kids how to trap for furs. And they also wanted to have a camp in the summer to teach the culture and to engage in activities that are meaningful to them. And so what we do, the program is run out of Fort Yukon. It's locally controlled. We have a group of elders that make decisions about who will teach the kids and what they will be taught. And they've really taken a strong interest in this program. And in the meantime, the children are given self-esteem classes and just to gain a healthier input into their lives. And other things that we do, we receive funds through, we use CSBG funds to write for money to help support our conference. We have a conference every summer where rural Alaskans from all over the state come together to tell what they do in their villages to address alcohol and drug abuse and what works for them. Not necessarily always do Western models of addressing alcohol work for villagers, and they are trying to discover how they want to do it themselves, and this sharing kind of a conference really helped. Last year we had 450 persons at Canacross who participated. So that's basically what we're doing.
Okay, thank you, Janine. There is a question from Representative Davis.
Thank you. My question is, just out of curiosity, you were referring to a $1 million grant, and then you started talking about the Fort Yukon program. I assume you didn't mean that just the Fort Yukon program took $1 million.
Yes, it's a 5-year project. It's funded at $200,000 a year for 5 years.
Thank you.
I do have one final question. Are you also responsible for the Stranded Rural Alaskan Association by supporting them or giving them grants?
Thank you, Representative McLean. I neglected to mention them, that we also provided funds to that organization.
Okay, could you just expound a little bit on the types of services that you do fund?
Okay, this is for the emergency homeless monies. You know, these are monies that come, they're about $100,000. And you have an option. You can either create a new program and to address homelessness, or what we have chosen to do at RuralCAP is just to support those organizations that are already in existence that seem to do a good job. ASRA, for instance, what happens, I've been attending the Homeless Coalition meetings here in Anchorage, and a large number of homeless people are from rural areas. They come here and they get stranded. They come thinking of, or find work or opportunity for education, and that's quite a shock to their systems. And sometimes it happens that they just end up homeless and in a bad way. So we feel a real responsibility to share, you know, assisting the local organizations that help with rural Alaska homelessness. ASRA is an organization that exists in Anchorage. What it does is it provides emergency funds to rural Alaskans who do get stranded here, and then the rural Alaskans, when they go home, you know, they pay back ASRA. And they operate with a lot of volunteers, and so we support that effort.
Okay, thank you very much, Janine. And we'll go. Are there any other people wishing to testify from Anchorage?
No, there is not.
Okay, thank you. We'll go to Barrow, and I'd like to find out if there's anybody wishing to testify from Barrow.
Thank you, Representative McLean. No, there is not at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Going on to Bethel, is there anyone from Bethel that wishes to testify?
I don't believe Bethel's online. Nome and Fairbanks are the only other sites online.
Okay, thank you very much. Going into Fairbanks, is there anyone wishing to testify at this time?
Yes, we have one person here to testify.
Okay, thank you. And please state your name and your address.
Hello, I just happen to be in Fairbanks. My name is Pat Stanley. I live in Fort Yukon, and I work for the Council of Athabascan Tribal Governments.
Okay.
this will be a surprise to Janine, I guess, and myself also. I just happened to come in the office and hear you speaking. I didn't realize this hearing was today, but I would just like to say that we've had, since 1985, we've had a tremendous amount of assistance, technical assistance and funding. I think more technical assistance than anything else from RuralCAP. And we just support them 100% because they have enabled us to accomplish so many things on our own. And they're one agency that we feel doesn't set up an agenda for us, but has helped us to address our own agenda. And there are a lot of many things I could say, but I didn't really plan to speak today, so I just want to leave it at that we give them our full support and hope that their funding continues.
Okay, and thank you very much, Pat Stanley.
You're welcome.
Okay, if there's no one else that wishes to testify from Fairbanks, we'll go on into Nome. Is there anyone wishing to testify from Nome?
No, there is not. We just have two observers.
Okay. Then this will conclude our hearing, our teleconference. Oh, there is somebody. Two more people from Juneau. My apologies.
Can you just press down these?
Yes, press them down, and please state your name and your address.
My name is Al Jetz, and I'm with Douglas Indian Association, Box 904, Douglas, Alaska, 99824. The telephone there is 463-5219. I looked at the draft of the Community Service Block Grant, and under Section 2B of page 1, it says, a variety of tribal entities received direct funding from Washington, D.C., during each fiscal year. This amount is deducted from the state's allocation. I'd like to see some wording interjected here, added to this paragraph. And this is what I'd like to see. If an IRA or a traditional council has not received federal funding in general or sufficient funding to meet the needs of the people in their area, the IRA or traditional council should be considered eligible for community service block grants. And I have only one other thing I'd like to interject, and that has to do with homeless people, low-income people. I'd like to see help provided for low-income people to set up their own home ownership coalitions, associations, or corporations, or whatever it takes to help them set up their own efforts to get a home for themselves. And the second thing I'd like to see for low-income people and homeless people is for education and training to eventually take over their own housing projects, so that they could own their own home. And through these three things would probably come about. It would provide employment, it would eventually provide for upward mobility economically, and the third thing, the final thing, would be home ownership.
Thank you, Mr. Judson. Isn't there a program that's called the Low Income Mutual Help Home Ownership Program that does provide?
Yes, would you let me do it?
Okay, please.
Thank you, Representative McLean. Yeah, in response to Mr. Judson's comments, two things came to mind. One, I know there are Indian set-aside monies in both CSBG and CDBG. Here locally, Lincoln Heights Central Council receives the Indian set-aside CSBG funds. The CDBG is handled all through the Tlingit-Haida Housing Authority. Well, they do have the mutual help funds that go there, and they can also assist people in applying for other grants. When I work there, I know that was the case. Excuse me.
I have to respond to that. The only reason Tlingit-Haida exists is because the IRA councils draft resolutions and let Tlingit-Haida take over a program or a project. But the IRAs and traditional councils are always ignored when it comes to block grants and whatever, because Tlingit-Haida does not represent all Tlingit-Haida people. They do not represent traditional councils. They do not represent all the IRAs. And this is why I'd like this wording interjected.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Mr. Judson.
This is no. When people are speaking, hard time hearing. It sounds like they're not keeping their button pushed down. Could you ask them to please do that? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we have John Egan.
Good afternoon. My name is John Egan. I'm the director of the Glory Hole, which is the local homeless shelter and soup kitchen here in Juneau. Address is 247 South Franklin, Juneau 99801. For the past 2 years, the Glory Hole has received emergency shelter grant funds, which have aided tremendously in our operation. It's my understanding that these funds were available because the Community Development Block Grant is in place. This agency was a recipient of some homeless assistance funds administered also through CCAP. This money went directly to maintain our very old and decaying building and also to sustain our operation of serving the hungry and housing the homeless. It's my opinion that both of these programs are crucial and if anything will require additional funding in the future if we're going to do anything about the homeless problem. I'm happy that the CSBG funds will continue to fund CCAP. Bill Heumann's efforts to organize the Juneau Coalition and his willingness to serve as regional chair has helped the organization tremendously. Judy Holden, also of Community and Regional Affairs, has been very active in organizing the coalition. The statewide volunteer effort is successful because everyone recognizes the need and is willing to contribute their own resources and assets. I see the coalition as an important viable mechanism to attack the rapidly growing problem of homelessness in Alaska, and therefore I hope that it can become more involved with the CSBG and CDBG funds in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions? Yes. Thank you. We don't have any more that wishes to testify, so this will conclude our teleconference. And thank you for your comments and your input. And at this time, we'd like to just go on the record that these testimonies will be adopted at the next official meeting for our committee. Thank you. Brenda?
One final comment. If anyone wishes to make any additional comments or knows of someone who does, written testimony will be accepted through December 29th. Second page of the public notice gives our address, but Post Office Box BDC Juneau 99811, that's Community and Regional Affairs, Rural Development Division. Attention, Judy Holden. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This concludes the teleconference with the Department of the House Committee of Community and Regional Affairs. This is Jane Sandros.
19th meeting for the purpose of adopting the testimonies presented on the Community Service Block Grants and Community Development Block Grants. And I note for the record that there is a quorum present consisting of myself, Representative Sherry Davis, Representative Richard Foster. So I move to that effect. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a second by Representative Davis. Any questions?
Nope.
Okay, it's adopted. The testimonies have been adopted. And this is an informal
subcommittee. Are they summarized?
Pardon?
Are they summarized in the written form?
Yeah, she'll give you a copy.
Yeah, okay.
We'll have the minutes of the
thing. Talk about a problem in Chile.
Okay.
Sure, and we'll get a copy too.
Now, we're on teleconference?
Yeah, they're standing by and Matsu issued on.
Okay, Matsu, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, and who is it that's going to be on the teleconference for Matsu?
That'll be myself. I'm John Bitney, aide to Representative Larson.
Oh, okay. Welcome, John.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, and there's a